Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to episode 35 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, brought to you by the world's best resource for training hockey players, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. If you'd like to contact me with questions about today's show, you can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't checked in with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, right now we have almost 900 articles, webinars, videos, training programs, and great podcasts just like this, all dedicated to improving the strength, power, and health of hockey players. So definitely check it out if you're a strength and conditioning professional, a hockey coach, or a hockey family. We know you're going to find lots of really useful information from the top hockey strength and conditioning coaches in the NHL, NCAA, and private facilities. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. After that first week, you're going to want to stay on board for our newest content for just $14.95 a month, or you can choose to get 2 months free by investing for the year at just $149. So take a look. There's a ton of great information that's going to help you and your players, and we know you're going to love the content. On today's episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast, we're going to be talking to Head of Hockey Performance at UMass Lowell and HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partner, Devin McConnell. Devin's not only a partner of ours at the site, but he's also on the board of advisors for Volt Athletic and a frequent contributor to Stack.com and Mike Boyle's StrengthCoach.com. He's really leading the way in terms of bringing the use of data and monitoring to our sport, so we're going to talk to him about that today. As some of you know, Coach McConnell is going to be presenting at the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic coming up on April 23rd of 2016. This is a live event hosted by us at HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, and it's going to be held at Advantage Strength and Conditioning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, this was an awesome event last year. We had great response from the participants, so it's definitely something we're going to continue to build on year after year. Right now, you can head to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com to get more information about Devin's presentation, and just to check out all the other great coaches that are going to be joining us. Other speakers this year include Dave Sensor from Ferris State University, Joe Marr from the University of Michigan, physical therapist and return-to-play specialist Greg Roskovensky, and we can finally today confirm a very special guest, Anthony Donskoff from Donskoff Strength and Conditioning in Columbus, Ohio. Another thing we're definitely going to continue from last year is the social at the end of the clinic. That ended up being kind of the best way to finish out the day, and we had a chance to meet a lot of the participants and talk about the business we all love. So we're looking forward to that, and like last year, the first couple rounds are on us, so that's a tradition we're definitely excited to keep alive. To get you guys ready for the clinic and to give you a taste of what the clinic is like, we are going to start releasing videos of last year's presentations on the site. Right now, we have posted Steve McGregor's presentation on quantifying on-ice performance and Justin Rothling-Scheffer's presentation on using data to drive performance. We just added Jim McKee's video on unconscious learning in sports, so that's really interesting stuff. In the coming weeks, we're going to be posting more from last year's clinic, so keep an eye out for those. If you aren't a member of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com right now, remember you can try us out for just a buck for the first week, so it's really easy to join for the week and check out those videos and all the other great content on the site. All right, so enough about us. Let's get started with UMass Lowell's Devin McConnell. All right, guys, today we are joined by the head of hockey performance at UMass Lowell, Devin McConnell. Devin is going to be speaking at the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic coming up on April 23rd. Here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Devin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Brian, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. And some people may not know, but also another exciting announcement, Devin is now part of the HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com team. So we're really excited to have him, his expertise, and especially his expertise in monitoring, which is what he's going to be presenting on at our Great Lakes Clinic. So we're really excited to have him. It's another voice for us, and definitely a guy who's leading the charge in terms of being vocal about this monitor, this idea of monitoring, and helping bring this into hockey, which is honestly catching us up with other sports. So definitely really appreciate your work there, and we're really excited for your presentation at the Great Lakes Clinic. You're going to be talking about monitoring for the masses. So start us off a little bit. Talk about why this presentation and why you think it's important.
Yeah. Well, you kind of alluded to the fact that hockey in general is a little bit behind the curve, probably, when it comes to monitoring and analytics and you know, using concrete information to drive decision making processes. Certainly is the sports science side of things is huge and has been huge in Europe and Australia, you know, with mostly with soccer and rugby. It's certainly big now and has been big for a little while in the NFL and big time college football and the NBA. Baseball obviously has had sabermetrics now for quite a long time. Hockey's sort of the last of the big North American sports, at least, to kind of start to jump on board at looking more in depth at, you know, at least in this realm, physiological data to help better understand what our athletes are going through, what the result of our training on them is, and using that information to make better decisions. So my talk at the conference is really going to be about sort of two pieces, I guess, in general, kind of what it is that I do at UMass Lowell with our hockey program and how that influences some things, and then to try to break some of that down, the monitoring for the masses idea of what are some simple, low-cost, basic ideas that people hopefully can walk away from that day and implement the next day. So that's kind of the idea behind my presentation.
Cool. So I guess, you know, the idea of for the masses is the really valuable part here, because I know a lot of people, if you're in a private facility or if you, you know, are in a high school or whatever your capacity is, you may not have the budget to get into, you know, having the Omega Waves or you know, having the accelerometers and the devices that the players would wear during games and during practice. A lot of places just don't have that budget. But talk about your kind of commitment to this monitoring and sort of what you do on the front end and what you do on the back end. So this might be, I mean, you may have them, I don't know if you do the most in college hockey, but you're definitely the most vocal about it, and you're definitely collecting quite a bit of data. So tell us what you do on the front end and also on the back end and how those relate to performance of your players.
Yeah, so I guess our monitoring program, if we want to call that, is sort of split into two pieces. The front end is how we refer to looking at specific information before practice, before training, before games, to have an idea of sort of where our players are at physically as they walk in the door or before they even walk in the door. So we can make some decisions in training and again, in practice, whatever, before we even see the players and have an idea of what they're capable of doing and what maybe will be the cost of doing business, you know, relative to the work that we're going to do. So we want to find out on the front end where our guys are at before they get here, so we can make decisions. On the back end, we sort of look at a lot of information retrospectively to find out exactly what did occur during training or during practice or during a game, and that helps us move in a couple directions as far as what we do for recovery moving forward, how we structure the subsequent week or month or whatever it might be based on what has actually happened. So we look at up front, we try to get an idea of where players are going to be at so we know what we can do optimally, and then on the back end, we look at what actually happened and then use that information to make adjustments on the go.
Nice. Yeah. And I know, you know, we want to leave some of this for the presentation. Just to kind of share some of what I'm doing here. And, you know, I have a private facility and, we work with several teams, and I think something that's been really effective for me this year is using just a simple questionnaire. Now I know you get yours in the morning from the guys through an app or maybe even just through like Google Docs or something, but, we have our athletes fill it out when they come in. It's the easiest, most reliable way. We don't have the same kind of, I guess, contact you would have with the college students, but, you know, these are high school students. So take a college student and take accountability, -20. off of that. So we just have them fill out right when they come in, and it's a simple 10-question survey. Some of them are objective questions. Some of them are subjective questions. So, you know, the objective ones would be like, how many hours of sleep did you get last night? And what color was your last pee? And it gives a couple of examples there. We're just looking at hydration status. And some of them are subjective, like what was your quality of sleep last night? How has your nutrition been as far as you know today? All those on a scale of 1 to 5. And what we do is we collect that and we have it on an Excel sheet. And it gives us a nice kind of readout of how things are going, I guess. And we can present that to the coaches. I think that's our biggest role, is sharing that with the team coaches and just saying, like, you know, hey, maybe we're continuing to see this downward trend, and maybe it would be better to take a log off the fire for practice today and make sure that they're getting the recovery that they need to. So, and essentially that's all it is a recovery questionnaire. Are these players, or are these athletes coming back to us ready to go and fully recovered? I know you guys are using a questionnaire as well. What else are you doing on the front end? You mentioned there's a couple things.
Yeah, so the questionnaire piece of the puzzle is huge. And I started several years ago with our team essentially right where you're at. Sort of pen and paper, just to get an idea. And it's, you know, it's sort of grown and blossomed from that. But the gist of the front end monitoring to have an idea of where players are at is exactly what you're talking about, is or at least that's a piece of what we do, is the questionnaire type idea. We also, you know, are able, you know, very fortunate here to have the resources to do some things with heart rate variability and some different things like that, and some, you know, different technologies. But again, they all sort of, all these different pieces on the front end filter in to give us a better idea of where the players are at before they come to the rink, so that we can, you know, as a staff, as a coaching staff, we can talk about, like you said, do we need to take a log off the fire, or vice versa? Can we hit the gas pedal a little more today? Or are we where we think we would be right now? Are we ahead of that? Are we behind that? So it's just the front end side of things is really just looking at a couple of different avenues to give us some information about the state of readiness, so to speak, of our players. So we can make more informed decisions about how we develop, and instead of just guessing at what type of work is necessary, or what type of recovery is necessary, we have a better idea to at least make informed decisions. And it's not to say that we, you know, 100% just follow what the numbers say. It just adds some context to the art of coaching, which is a big piece of it, and that's something that I'm going to talk about a lot at the conference, is the idea of trying to marry the science with the art of coaching, because both pieces are crucial when it comes to development and performance.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, we had a post on the Twitter site for HSC the other day, just about how your app can't look you in the eye and determine whether you can go today or not. You know, so like you said, there is that mix of art and science, and it's not necessarily giving one up. It's using the two together to make that even better.
100%. I mean, because there'll be times when a player is not necessarily reporting that they feel great, or they're, you know, the various technologies we have say that they're not exceptionally well recovered, but they could still have the best day of their life. It just might mean that we need to pay attention to what happens after the fact, because that might take more gas out of the tank than usual. You know, so it doesn't necessarily mean to put the brakes on. It just gives you, again, a better understanding of where that person is at and what that's going to mean moving forward.
Yeah, and I've heard you use that that bank account sort of analogy, where, you know, there may be some left in the bank, and you may be able to overdraw that day, but you better be sure that after that you're getting funds put back in there. I think is a great way to visualize it.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the HRV. I know I guess a while back, pretty much right when I started doing the podcast, there were some questions about HRV and what it could do and what it couldn't do. What are you finding there? Like, what is the value of the HRV and what are the limits of it, of using that in terms of your front end monitoring?
Yeah, I think early on, several years ago when HRV or heart rate variability started to become more mainstream, and there were several different relatively affordable technologies coming out that could potentially monitor and measure HRV, it was really being billed as a tool that would, really take all of the guesswork out of readiness. It would tell you if you should go hard this day, or it would tell you if you should not go hard this day. And at least for me, with the system that we use and the logistics, the practicality of when we have to do the measurements and what's going on and everything, what I have found is that it is not, HRV is not necessarily a line in the sand that tells you yes, you can, or no, you can't. But again, it adds context. It's just one piece of the front end that gives us some information. It's not a be-all, end-all technology or measurement, but I use that information in conjunction with the other things that we do, again, to be able to make better decisions about what's going on. So, for instance, we'll measure HRV on a daily basis before we warm up every day. And if I see that a player is, has a low HRV score for a number of days, I will basically cross-reference that with our questionnaires and our training load and all of our other information to see, is that just is that a valid measurement of decreased output, or is it just a random occurrence? Is it something I need to talk with the player about and maybe spark a conversation, or is it just their baseline happens to be relatively low and it's nothing out of the ordinary? So it doesn't tell me exactly what to do, but it gives me some more information and sort of red flag some things to say, hey, we should look at these, at X, Y, and Z and make sure there's no problem going on here.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. And there's the value, too, in using a couple different methods to gather your information. I think, I don't know, to me, the coolest part here is sort of what you're doing with the team. Now, this isn't so much based on your presentation, because I think monitoring on a budget probably wouldn't include a lot of a team's worth of wearable devices. But let's talk a little bit anyway about the how you're gathering data during practice or during competition and how you use that on the back end.
Yeah, so we have a team heart rate monitoring system that measures heart rate in real time during essentially everything we do. We kind of wear it for everything. And we use that information to get an idea of what the internal training stress was for any given session, weightlifting, practice, game, whatever. So we know internally how much work an athlete had to put in to accomplish a given task, practice. So we have an idea on the back end of training, on the back end of practice, how stressful, how much energy was used in that day or in that week. And we can use that information, again, to, in conjunction with our front-end stuff, to have an idea of what we need to do moving forward. So we've been able to use that information about essentially training load and how hard players are working or have to work to structure how we practice over a week or over a month. So which days should go hard, which days should be easier, what days we should take off, what days need to be longer or shorter, or any number of different sort of variables to ultimately improve or peak our readiness for the weekend. So the whole goal is to be as well prepared as possible to play the game on Friday night. That's essentially what we're working towards. So having the heart rate information, again, along with some other things that we can do on the back end monitoring, has allowed us to really dial in and structure what we do, not just from a training standpoint in the weight room, but what we do on the ice as well, physiologically, to make sure that we are doing enough work to improve performance, but not doing so much work that we're reducing readiness on the weekend. And that's been the really neat thing over the last couple of years, is being able to use that information to dial that in, and really even to see the effect of how we structure a given week on performance outcomes, on wins and losses, and how that really has influenced what we do as a program overall.
Yeah, are you getting accelerations with that, or is it just the heart rate?
No, right now the system that we use is just heart rate. So we haven't branched into the GPS type metrics and the acceleration. That's definitely something that's, you know, I like you said, I probably have more of a budget than somebody in a private facility, but I don't have an NHL or an NFL budget. So it's in the works, but we're not at that point yet. But we'd like to get there, because I think that that's one more layer of information that really could help us pinpoint exactly what we need to be doing at the right times, both on an individual level and on a team level.
So do you get, you know, when you're looking at HRV or heart rate variability, and then also taking heart rates during performance, do you see that, is there kind of a direct correlation, or can you tell that maybe the HRV, if you have a low HRV score, then maybe your heart rate response is going to be a little more extreme, like, or and a positive HRV might stabilize your heart rate response to activity? Do you see any of that?
You know, it's very individual. I have some players who, after a day off, will have a decreased HRV. I have some players who, after a day off, will have an increased HRV. I have players who will be affected either way, from a hard practice or light practice, from a training session. So it's very individual, which is one of the reasons why you have to be very careful sort of making blanket statements or decisions with HRV, and you really, and really any data in general, you really need to know, the data, and you need to know the athlete, because it's going to be different for everybody. So the HRV in some cases does show us that, in some cases the opposite, and it all depends on the person. So knowing what their typical response is very important, so that when something in the HRV or in the questionnaire or in the training load information or whatever it is that we're looking at differs from their normal response, that's when you know to take a deeper look and to potentially make an adjustment. But if you don't look at it on an individual level, it's hard to make the correct decisions when it comes to those things.
Nice. Okay. Cool. Well, Devin, thanks again for joining us, and you know, I'm really looking forward to having you out to the clinic this year. It'll be your first time out here, and you know, it'll be a great chance to hear from you, and you're sort of leading the way here in terms of monitoring. So I'm excited about it, and I know it's going to be really beneficial for all the attendees here. And yeah, we can't wait to hear what you had to say. And again, that's the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on April 23rd, 2016. Devin's going to be here with us, along with several other NCAA coaches, all with really relevant topics if you're working with hockey players. So check out the website at GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com, and we look forward to seeing you. Devin, thanks so much, and good luck on the weekend here.
Brian, I appreciate the time on the podcast, and certainly looking forward to coming out to the conference and seeing everybody, and I'm real excited about it.
Well, guys, that does it for the 35th episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks to Devin McConnell for joining us. I think, like I said, he's definitely leading the way in terms of bringing us all on board with this idea of monitoring and using data to assist the art of coaching, not replace, but assist the art of coaching. So we're really excited to hear more from him at the clinic, and he's a great guy to learn from. So really, this is something that's just peeking its head into hockey, so we can all be better at it, and I think Coach McConnell can help us out. Remember, guys, we are on Twitter now at joinus@HSC. We just got started. We want to make sure you know about that. There's lots of stuff that we post on Facebook and Twitter that are not on the site. Things that aren't on the site, just basically shares of other articles and really valuable information for hockey strength and conditioning professionals. So make sure you check us out there. Again, we're looking to help your hockey players. So every little bit of information we can offer you is going to be helpful. Also, remember to head to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com to register for this year's clinic. You can register and save your seat for the conference or the clinic on April 23rd and also the free pre-conference on April 22nd. So check out the site. We've got all the information there. Also, remember, at the end of this month, which is March, at the end of March, the early bird discount ends. So right now, it's only $99 for this clinic, which is an unbelievable value to see these guys present and hear what they had to say. After that, it's going to jump up to $129. So make sure you get in early. Reserve your seat for $99 now by the end of March here. That way you get the better price. All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.